So, Katie, you saw Iron Man 2 last night, right?
I did, as did you, as far as I understand.
I did, yeah. What'd you think of it?
I've actually written my review already, so you can read it.
I'm not going to read it.
You're not going to read it? Thanks. Yeah. Thank you for your support.
You're welcome.
I thought it had a lot more good things to it than it could have given all the script problems. Like, there's a ton of problems in it. And yet it works because it, like, I think Jon Favreau is really good at directing the material and the performances are really good and they make it fun even if there's a lot of it that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I mean, I
was way more down on this movie than I
wasn't too crazy about it. I mean, I just read a review by, what's his name at Gizmodo. Gizmodo wrote a movie review of this.
Gizmodo wrote a review?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
I don't know how they're able to get past
the Iron Man gadgets.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, they wrote a Star Trek review too and everything. But what he writes here is this is what you need to know. Iron Man 2 is not as good as the original Iron Man, but don't be so worried about some of those early negative reviews. It's worlds, worlds, worlds better than Transformers 2 or Spider-Man 3 or some other franchise-devastating catastrophe.
Oh, totally.
You'll still enjoy the movie a ton. Go see it already. Just don't deconstruct it afterwards.
Yeah.
So let's deconstruct this movie, Katie.
I think it's fun to deconstruct because I think there's a lot going on in it. And again, there's so much that works that it's kind of fun to figure out where it goes wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I think the problems begin right from the opening scene.
Are we doing spoilers or not?
Let's not do spoilers, okay, but I'm going to give away the opening scene,
yeah.
Which is that, like, you see Ivan Drenko's father is...
Ivan Vanko.
Or whatever, Vanko, I should say. His father is, like, in a bad place, and then he dies in the first, like, 30 seconds of the movie. And Mickey Rourke is like, no, with the overhead camera shot. And it's like, man, this not one for subtlety, this movie. I mean,
I was kind of down with that. I mean, Whiplash as a character is not one for subtlety no matter what.
That's true. Whiplash as a character, there's a difference between a character not being subtle and a movie not being subtle, though.
Yeah, well, I think that there's a difference. I think that the character isn't subtle, but I think that the movie is very subtle in a lot of ways. Not in every way, but... That sequence is over the top, and as I said in my review, I think opening with that is a mistake, like opening with Whiplash instead of Iron Man. Like, you need to set the tone for the entire movie, and that kind of makes it...
And then the scene they follow it up with is literally more preposterous than anything they show in Iron Man 1, and I include the technology.
I don't understand why you think that's so preposterous.
Wait, hold on.
Show.
No. That's not the part. I'm sorry. You're right. The Stark Expo, that's awesome. I love that. In fact, one of my favorite parts of the movie.
Do you have a Stark Expo t-shirt from Comic-Con?
No, I never got one. I got one. But scene I'm talking about is the congressional hearing scene, which is just, I was going to say not to nitpick, but yeah, this is definitely a nitpick. But, I mean, the first one was pretty silly, you know, the first Iron Man, but I still liked it. It was really lighthearted, you know, but there was still some kind of, despite the kind of ridiculous premise, there was still some kind of underlying reality to the film, whereas this kind of whole nature of, and by the way, I'm not giving away anything that's not in the trailer right now, so if you don't want to be giving away, like, stuff that's not in the trailer, then stop listening, but... the trailer, you know, it gives away the idea that he's at this hearing and he's like, I have privatized world peace. And then everyone just stands up and claps. It's just the most, like, ridiculous scene ever. And then also, apparently Iron Man is like Dr. Manhattan from Watchmen. Like, he has apparently ushered in a whole new era of world peace. But that all takes place between Iron Man 1 and Iron Man 2. So it doesn't... Like, you don't see any of that. You don't see the effects of any of that. The setup of Dr. Manhattan in Watchmen was far more effective than this idea that one dude with this machine can stop, you know, terrorism or whatever. And as a result, like, that's kind of... part of the movie hinges on the idea that Iron Man is invincible, you know? A crucial part of the movie hinges on that idea, specifically Mickey Rourke's character's, like, entire motivation.
Hinged on the idea that Iron Man is invincible?
Yeah, or that he is kind of, he's legend, you know? That's the whole thing. That's his whole motivation.
Yeah, well, no, well, the idea hinges on that Iron Man has taken the credit that Whiplash should have had. It's not that he's invincible. I didn't see that having anything to do with anything.
Dude, okay, maybe you fell asleep. Maybe you fell asleep during these parts of the movie. But there's that whole. I don't want to give anything away. Let's just say, yeah. See, it's hard to talk about this without giving stuff away. But you know, like the whole after their first encounter,
uh-huh.
like Mickey Rourke's and Tony Stark's first encounter.
Uh-huh.
Mickey Rourke is basically like, or Mickey Rourke and Robert Downey Jr.'s first encounter. Mickey Rourke's like, you lose.
Uh-huh.
Right. And why does he say that? Because they have pierced this sense that Iron Man is invulnerable, right? So that's what I'm alluding to. Like,
okay, I kind of see what you mean. I feel like it's not that he's invincible. It's just that he's incredibly powerful, and he's more powerful than anyone else can come up with, and no one else can come up.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Okay, not like you literally can't hurt him. Not like you literally can't hurt him, but just that he's untouchable, and
that's what invincible means. That he is completely untouchable, but in this case he's just more powerful.
Okay, I think we're splitting hairs here. I think you get
confused me with your
words. Okay, I'm sorry for using the word invincible, but everything else I said stands.
Yeah, I mean, going back to the Senate hearing, like I don't mind that it's kind of this crazy. Like, everyone getting up and clapping for him, because I think what makes Iron Man work is that it's the real world with the X Factor of Tony Stark thrown in, so that the rules are a little different. Like, the rules don't apply to him. He has changed the way congressional hearing will work. He is a figure who's so loved and so above the law that he can get away with this kind of thing. But what bugs me about the Senate hearing is that it's fun, it's entertaining, and Gary Shandling's great, and Sam Rockwell as Justin Hammer is great, but the entire crux of the movie is around who gets government contracts. Like, it's basically this petty rivalry between these two billionaire industrialists, and neither of them care about anything else. And the entire force of the character in Iron Man 1 was him growing conscience and caring about saving people and caring about using the Iron Man suit for something other than just jetting around.
I'm sorry, finish what you're saying.
And he goes back, and in this entire movie, he's exactly back where he started in the first one. The character has no development in the entire film. And that's, I think, the hugest problem with it is that Iron Man is doing basically nothing for most of his movie.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, there are so many good elements of the first movie. You know, there's the transformation, the character arc of Tony Stark from billionaire playboy to, you know, guy who actually wants to save the world and still, you know, is really cocky about it. And that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But he has a really clear arc. There's no such arc in Iron Man 2. I mean, you look at movies that are successful. You know, you compare this to, like, The Dark Knight, where, you know, Christopher Nolan took the serious elements of the first one and made them much more serious and much darker. And Jon Favreau, it seems like, took the lighthearted elements of Iron Man 1 and kind of took it to the nth degree, as sort of shown by that congressional hearing scene, in my opinion.
Yeah, and the reason that it works is that those lighthearted scenes are still really fun.
Yeah, they're fun. Yeah, they're fun.
The moments of it work really well, but at a certain point, you're just like, wait, is anything going to happen?
It is a fun movie. It is a fun movie, but those expecting a movie that, you know, takes the opportunity to make, like, a legitimately great film and capitalizes upon it, will be disappointed. I don't think... Like, I would say The Dark Knight is a great film, and I would not say Iron Man 2 is a great film. Like, I could have gone without seeing this movie, and I'd still be okay. You know, like...
You enjoyed watching it, right?
Like, yeah.
I feel like it had so much of exactly what you go see summer movies for. Like, the fight scenes are really
But that's the thing. Okay, so and again, a lot of this stuff is in the trailers, so I'm not giving.
It's kind of remarkable how much of the movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There are still surprises in it, which I
not really. Like, there's not many surprises.
Of course,
no. Okay, so first of all, there's that scene with where Iron Man versus Whiplash, and then basically nothing for an hour and a half, and then one big fight scene at the end. And here's the thing: I would have thought that Jon Favreau learned from the first movie that you should you got to work on your boss battles. You know,
mm-hmm.
The final boss battle in Iron Man 1, or rather how the boss was finally defeated in Iron Man 1 was pretty disappointing. It's kind of lame.
Yeah, because and, it's two guys in metal suits beating each other up.
And in, well, it's, no, that's, I mean, that can be cool, but it just, the way they defeated, like, it was not a cool way for Jeff Bridges to go down. Like, they activated some kind of thing. Do you remember the end? I don't even remember the end, but I remember it not being that memorable.
Yeah, I actually don't know that I've seen the entire movie since it came out in theaters. Like, I've seen bits and pieces, but I don't think I've watched that battle scene since.
Here, let me pull out my brand spanking new iPad and I'll look up the ending right now.
Oh, Lord.
Because I have Iron Man on my device here. But while I'm doing that, I'll just say that the boss battle in this movie is equally disappointing. Like, it's really, you know, it's not giving too much away to say that at the end he fights the Mickey Rourke character. I'm not going to say what happens to him, but it is completely anticlimactic.
Yeah, kind of. I think there are two things that make it better than, I do think it's kind of a downer, and I think that there is a fundamental problem with people in metal suits fighting each other. I don't think, it's the same problem I have with Transformers. Like, I don't think watching that happen is interesting, and Iron Man, for all of its good things, has never been able to make that work. But there's a weapon that's brought out in that final boss battle that I think is great, that's just really visually fun. And also what comes before that, like, it's a much bigger fight scene. It involves a lot more people, a lot more space. Like, it expands. And I think that part of the fight scene is really great. So that by the time you get to that boss battle, it's almost kind of, like, kind of satisfying to have it be kind of short.
No, I think completely the opposite. It's like, dude, really? you've shown us Tony Stark fighting all these inconsequential, you showed us Iron Man fighting all these inconsequential robots, and now when he's actually fighting the dude, like, you better make that even more spectacular than what came before it. And to that degree, the movie completely failed.
I don't know. I maybe the reason that I didn't care that much is because Whiplash wasn't that well developed of a character. I didn't really care about him fighting Whiplash anymore. So that might be part of it.
I mean, I thought he was one of the best developed characters of the movie, which I don't know how much that's saying.
it's true. I don't know. I think Justin Hammer got pretty good development.
I think Justin Hammer was my favorite part of the entire movie.
Yeah, but didn't you get a little sick of it? Because Sam Rockwell got a lot of screen time.
Dude.
He said nothing.
No, really. He is so good. He is so good. I will not bear any criticism of Sam Rockwell in this movie.
Because I think there's too much of him.
He plays the perfect kind of impotent, not very skilled, but still quite successful, horribly insecure. You know, he's the personification of that character. And because he's Sam Rockwell, he does it in a way that, you know, you're not likely, like, this is, I think, one of the only times he's played such a character. And
yeah, I think he plays it really
kind
well.
Of his unique spin casting. On it. Yeah.
Yeah. He's perfectly cast. He does really well in it, but I think there's too much of a minute. He's like, there's so many. I mean, the problem with the middle of the movie is there's all these dialogue scenes, and a lot of them are him talking and talking and talking and talking and saying nothing, really. Like, the whole thing is that he can't shut up, and that Whiplash, Ivan Manko, doesn't really talk at all. And it just, you know, it's a funny dynamic, but it made me really sick of Sam Rockwell after a while.
Disagree with you completely. We have, like, we viewed the same movie, but we had, like, a complete opposite reaction to it.
I know. It's really interesting. I mean, yeah. But I think that makes this, again, like, way more interesting a film than Spider-Man 3, Transformers 2.
Oh, yeah.
I never even saw X-Men 3, but I assume this is
it. No, yeah. I mean, this movie, I did not enjoy those movies. This movie, I actually enjoyed. I don't know if I'd see it again. But because it's pretty anticlimactic, and even though the first one might have had less action, it felt like it had more action.
Oh, I think the first one did have more action. I think there was a lot more scenes of him flying in the suit, of him developing the suit.
Yeah, him developing the suit, the opening of him actually building the suit and breaking free from the thing. It's like, there's that idea of discovery, you know, figuring out what the suit can do and everything like that. Mm-hmm. You can't have that in a sequel because he already knows everything. It's really difficult to duplicate
and
that.
They attempt to replicate it later in the film in a scene that I don't want to spoil it, but I think you liked it better than I did. There's kind of another, like, discovery sequence that I had no real use for.
I liked it because I'm a total geek, but I can see why it wouldn't work for some people.
Well, it just didn't seem important to the narrative, and there were a lot of subplots that I thought could have been trimmed or cut.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like they were building,
the Avengers.
Yeah, it felt like they're doing some work for the Avengers. I think there was not as much wonder in this movie. And
no. Well, because it's cynical. It's all about this petty rivalry between these two guys. There's nothing big that they're fighting for. Yeah. And there's nothing happening to the character that he's amazed by. There's nothing really to feel in this movie.
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't want them to get into, like, heavy drama, but I wanted to feel something.
You just want to feel something.
I just want to feel something.
Someone in my on my Facebook left a really awesome message. They wrote, "Well, my brother IM'd me this morning. He's like, wait, first of all, let's bookmark that. Remind me to get back to that. I just want to finish my point about
that." I saw that on your Twitter already.
No, but on my Facebook. The wonder, right? Like, the discovery of the machine. The only time I really had that wonder was when Iron Man jumped out of a plane in the opening scene, or one of the opening scenes of the movie. And, you know, the camera, it doesn't follow him out really, but it follows him out for a second. And then that whole him falling from the sky into Stark Expo sequence, that 30 seconds, it captured the wonder of the first movie and kind of the amazing nature of flight that, that the first one had. And, you know, that's another thing too, is like, the first movie felt a lot more kind of open in terms of like the geographic space of the action scenes. You got Tony Stark like flying around everywhere, flying up near the stratosphere of Earth's atmosphere. In the second one, it's kind of like, okay, you have the Stark Expo, that's where a lot of the action takes place, and then everything else is kind of like in fairly like enclosed spaces with Iron Man. Like there's the Vanko fight, and then the fight inside his house, you know, and like that's it, you know, like those fights take place, they feel really confined compared to the first one.
But then there's the final one, I think, is much
more. Yeah, I guess, but I mean, I just wasn't. Again, he's fighting, you see this in the trailer, he's fighting a bunch of robots. They're robots, they're not like dudes in suits, you know?
Yeah,
and it just didn't have.
That's kind of a spoiler.
Yeah, okay. Well, sorry then.
Yeah, it doesn't ruin anything.
I'm going to put spoilers, on the audio. I'll put this up as an audio boo.
And yeah, I'll put spoilers on it. To talk about the sense of wonder, though, I thought the entire Monte Carlo racetrack fight scene, which we've seen often in the trailers where Whiplash shows up and cuts the car in half,
yeah.
I thought that was fantastic. I thought there was a sense of wonder in that. Whiplash's suit was really
It was pretty badass. But
the scene was well shot. There was humor in it. And you knew where everything was. I thought that was a really great action
scene. I agree. That was pretty spectacular. But you know, for every action scene that was good in this movie, there is an action scene that was good in, you know, the original Iron Man, and there's more in the original Iron Man, you know?
Yeah, but, the action scenes aren't what makes everything. Like, the jokes, I think, were...
To me, they make up a lot. As a dude who likes action scenes...
Yeah, it's an action movie, but I think there's I think what makes Iron Man special is not the action sequences. It's something like Pepper Potts showing up on video chat to harass Tony for putting himself in danger, or
right.
him beating up Jon Favreau in the boxing ring, or Scarlett Johansson being like inexplicably. Also, she's not human, right? oh my god! Like, what? Where did she come from?
What do you mean by she's not human?
Like, she just looks like Jessica Rabbit. It's crazy.
you were turned on, weren't you, Katie?
No, she's just like unbelievably gorgeous. And I actually really liked her in it. And her fight scene, which is also in the trailers, which is, you know, this is one of the first things we've ever seen where she's in the hallway. I thought was one of the best fight scenes in the movie.
I agree.
That she's actually fighting humans.
That's kind of sad that, like, the best fight scene in the movie doesn't have anything to do with Iron Man, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that's a problem in the entire movie, is that Iron Man is such a passive character.
Yeah. But I mean, I was thinking like Dark Knight, right? I make that comparison. It's like even Christian Bale has a fairly substantial arc in that movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas
he's behind the action and he's failing constantly, but he feels frustrated by that. Whereas Tony Stark is just like, whatever, I'm gonna eat a donut in the donut sign.
So I was going back to this. I tweeted, I saw Iron Man with my brother last night, and he IMs me this morning. He's like, okay, so I wasn't crazy. Don Cheadle wasn't in the first one.
Yeah.
And then Ricardo Vasquez, a Facebook friend of mine, he says, you know, halfway through the flick, you were praying that Cheadle would turn to the camera and say, it's the sense of touch. In any real comic book movie, you know, people brush by you and never touch you. I think sometimes you miss that touch so much that you take a role originally offered to someone else and wear CGI metal suits and crash into one another just to feel something.
Are we really going to hold Crash against Don Cheadle?
Yeah.
He's given the world more than that.
The answer to your question is yes. Hotel Rwanda is not enough to cancel out Crash, is the answer to your question.
People in the chat room are asking about Mickey Rourke, and I thought he was fine. I thought he didn't have that much to do.
I liked him. It was interesting because, you know, he sounded like a New Yorker doing a Russian accent.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. I mean, it was like being an old-school Bond villain or something.
He's
in
like,
a way that was better than Jason Patrick in The Losers.
Your family is thieves and butchers. And it's like, it sounds kind of like you're from Brooklyn.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know enough about Russian accents to know if it was good or not. But I mean, him and the bird, and you know, I liked it.
Yeah.
It just, you know, they didn't do villain overload the way I expected them to. Like, it didn't feel like there was too much going on in that way. But they, like, by having two villains, they kind of split them so that they didn't have enough to do either of them.
Right.
And also, Justin Hammer is a lame villain. He's not trying to accomplish anything. But just
shut up about the criticisms against Justin Hammer. He's so good in this movie.
No, he's so good. I'm talking about the character's role in the screenplay. Like, he's not worth Tony Stark's time. Like, Tony Stark...
Yeah, that's one thing. Why is Tony Stark so pissed off at him is the question.
Because
he's
petty.
I guess.
And the movie doesn't seem to recognize that he's just being petty.
You know, there's one thing that... that I tweeted this last night that I think is the lesson of these movies, which is that do not give geniuses unlimited resources to create you a weapon, because usually they'll create something else is the moral of these movies.
Oh, I see.
And that's like, that, you know, that happened in the first movie and the same thing happened in this movie. You know, you'd think that whoever, you know, I'm not going to say who, but whoever did that in this movie would have figured it out.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how to talk about Pepper without giving away spoilers. Basically, all I wanted to say is I think Gwyneth Paltrow is a really underappreciated resource in these movies. Like, she's really funny. And she does really well with, like, the manager. I mean, her character is not fun at all, but I think she does a really good job with that.
I liked her, but again, this movie, I think, suffered from, like, too many character syndrome. Like, you're introducing three new characters, right, that are major parts of your movie, and you're sort of filling in more details about a fourth character, Nick Fury.
Yeah, and, oh god, the Nick Fury and the Avengers part I thought was such a huge problem. And we can't really spoil it, because none of it really matters to this movie. It's just that he's a presence in this movie.
Yeah.
And the only place he showed up in the first movie was in the active... Like, there's a decent chance that people who see this will not know that Nick Fury was in the first one. And there's no explanation of what S.H.I.E.L.D. is, what the Avengers are.
Right.
I know a lot about the Avengers because I have to write about it, and I still got confused.
Yeah.
And I hate that they didn't bother, that there's this all this time dedicated to this meta comic book narrative, and they don't bother to tie it into the character we've actually bothered to come see the movie for.
Yeah. And then at the end, yeah, okay, well, I don't want to give away the ending, but let's just say it doesn't pay off very well.
It's going to pay off in The Avengers and in Iron Man 3, and, like, it's this expectation that the audience comes in with this meta-knowledge of comic books that drives me crazy, because I don't read comic books, I don't want to read comic books, and I have to do so much research just to understand what happens.
And it's not something that, like, it's not like the Star Trek movie where, like, the references were all organic.
Exactly.
Where, like, you could not have known what Star Trek was all about, and then the movie would still be fine. In this movie, I'd say there's a good 15 minutes of a two-hour movie devoted to Avengers stuff.
Yeah, and
which,
it doesn't...
Yeah.
It's totally unclear why Tony Stark cares, why he'd want to be in the Avengers.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
But I was going to say, if this movie suffered, what I was saying was you're introducing all these characters, it suffers from too many character syndrome, basically.
Yeah.
Like, you have too many characters, you don't have enough time to... to sort of figure out what the motivations of each one are. It's just too many. It's bloat. It's too bloated.
It's bloated, but you don't feel lost in it, which I think is an important distinction. Like,
well, it's bloated, but what I mean is, there's just all the characters are essentially paper thin, including distractingly large cameo by Jon Favreau himself.
Yeah, I know. I thought he was good in it, though.
He's fine, but it's just really distracting. It's like, you know how people are annoyed that M. Night Shyamalan incorporates himself into his movies as, like, fairly major roles?
Yeah, but he's always, like, the hero and, like, the moral voice of his movies.
Yeah, I mean, this movie, Jon Favreau in this movie was bigger than, let's say, M. Night Shyamalan was in, you know, Signs. You know what I mean? Like, he's a constant...
Part, but he's comic relief. He's a comedic actor. He's a good actor. I don't know. I thought he was fine. Like, again, in the Monte Carlo scene, he's great in that.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
What else was I going to say about Jon Favreau?
But the point being that you have so many characters, you don't get to really care or learn about any of them. And
yeah, I think it's a distinction from something like Spider-Man 3, where there's so many characters and so many villains, you cannot keep track of what everyone wants. And, like, why
people
are here. Like, that wasn't a problem in Iron Man 2.
That's true. It's mildly better than Spider-Man 3.
No, it's much better than Spider-Man 3.
I kid.
Spider-Man 3 angered me. Iron Man 2 is just, it's disappointing. We had reason to expect more.
I wanted greatness, and I got something that's better than Transformers 2, but not great.
Okay, all right. Let's come up with a better metric than Transformers 2, because that movie was a shit show. It's not better than X-Men 2. It's not better than Spider-Man 2. Maybe it's better than Hellboy 2.
You didn't like Hellboy 2?
I liked Hellboy 2, but I think Iron Man 2 is better.
They're about the same. I'd say they're about the same level.
Yeah, there's just a lot of enjoyment to be had in this movie.
I agree.
I'm never going to tell someone to turn off their brain, but it's not hard to let yourself ignore the flaws.
Uh-huh.
To, like, recognize the flaws and be like, you know what, I can live with that, and then just keep going.
Yeah. All right, fair enough.
Wow. Did we just, like, succinctly have this conversation?
Well, I don't think it's a movie that lends itself to, like, that much talking about.
I don't know. I had a lot of thoughts about it. I wrote, like, my review was, like, almost 1,000 words long, and I still had things I didn't mention. So,
well, if you have anything else, mention it now or forever hold your peace.
I don't know. I don't have my notes in front of me.
Alright, well, I gotta stop this anyway because I'm coming up on the audio boo limit, so.
Oh, I know.
So, I will, let's wrap this up. Katie, where can people find more of your work?
I write for cinemablend.com, and I'm on Twitter at Katie Rich, KateyRich.
DaveChen.net/film.com, Twitter.com/DaveChenSky. That's Dave Chensky.
And that was fun.
And thanks to Audioboo for hosting this conversation.
And you guys will be talking about Iron Man 2 on the podcast.
On Monday night, we'll be reviewing Iron Man 2, yes. Okay.
All right. Well, I will be listening.